Thank you, Linda. I should have been crucified. That's a great old song with a good message. I know I always say that, but they're always great old songs with good messages. I'll find another way to say it, but that is what it is. So thank you very much, Linda, for that every Sunday. I want to say something here. Steve, I just met him, and he didn't ask me to do this, neither did Brother Chris, but it kind of ties into the first part of our lesson about what I'm going to say about God's Word. The Gideons have been an organization, a ministry, that have put in Bibles, as Brother Chris said, in many, many places for a long time. How old is the organization, Brother Steve?
It was established in about 1898.
Wow.
They started distributing God's Word to hotels and motels in 1908.
Wow, that's amazing. Let me tell you just why I think that is so important. God's Word is not only how we acknowledge our being a sinner before God, but that's how we grow as a Christian. This morning in Hosea chapter 6, we're going to look at something about the knowledge of God. And let me just say, if you as a child of God, or any person as a child, a Christian as a child of God, is not reading God's Word and studying God's Word, then we cannot grow. And one thing we're very good at in our Christian culture today is wonderful programs and beautiful buildings and all kinds of outreach, and that's great. But the Bible, God's Word, needs to be the basis and the foundation of everything that is done outside of that. Now, you know I have a bit of ADD when it comes to something. My life is full of rabbit trails and detours, okay? And when I start reading and studying the Scriptures, the depth of God's Word is so prevalent to me that I tend to, you know, I start off on this path, and I, you know, about right here on square number 2, I see something that just attaches itself to my mind, and that's what's happened with our lesson this morning, and I'm sorry. Okay, but I started out with Hosea chapter 6. We started in chapter 1. We're up to chapter 6, the first book of the minor prophets. We started out in the book of Hosea, and it has been a wonderful blessing to me. But I started out with chapter 6 thinking that we would talk about, it's a very short chapter, but what I would bring out in this would be the fact that it's important to be real. Are we real? Do we have an effective knowledge of God that makes things change in our heart and in our life? Can we see evidence in our life because of our knowledge of God and His Word? Is there evidence of who we are other than what we say? That's awfully, awfully important. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of the heart bringeth forth evil things." So, it's important that we be real. Okay, that's where I was going with this. However, once I got started, I started noticing something else. And what it is the beautiful nature, the wonderful characteristics of God's grace. How sweet it is, friends, to be forgiven. How wonderful it is to be recipients of God's grace. Read with me, Hosea chapter 6, verse number 1. We're going to start off reading the first 3 verses. "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the 3rd day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." Now, if you will remember last week, we ended chapter 5 with verses 14 and 15. And in those verses, there was a turning point, if you will, in the first 5 chapters of Hosea. The first 5 chapters, Hosea, were comprised mainly of the judgment of God upon a sinful and evil nation. But they were God's people. The children of Israel, the 10 tribes of the north, and then Judah, the 2 tribes to the south, they had rebelled against God, and they had adopted the idols of Baal and the idols of Assyria that they worshipped. Their worship was a sham. They still sacrificed, but it wasn't real. And so in verse number 14, let's go back and read that in chapter 5 as an aside to get into chapter 6. It says, "For I will be unto Ephraim," that's that's Israel. Ephraim was the biggest tribe, and so he's talking about the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom. "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion, and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I, even I, will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him." Now that is a scary place to be when God's judgment is being leveled against you. That's a scary place to be, and that's where they were. And verse 15 says, "I will go and return to my place," and then the beautiful part of this verse, "till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." So the last part of chapter or verse number 15 sets a tone for the next 3 verses, and that tone is an acknowledgement by the people of Israel that they have sinned against the Lord. And it's a picture of reaching bottom. You know, with any addict or with anybody that's got a huge problem in their life, reaching bottom is important, isn't it? You got to realize where you are. And Israel and Judah, in the first 3 verses of chapter 6, have realized that they have sinned against the Lord, and they're exhorting each other to come back to the Lord and return unto Him. That's very important, that we as Christians and as brothers and sisters in Christ exhort each other, that we not really give advice, but we encourage each other. That's important. I can't help but think, and this is just a side comment, I can't help but think one of the great tragedies of our Christian culture is this right here, is so many churches, and this is not a thing of judgment or anything like that, I'm just leading to a point, okay? So many churches are abandoning the second and third service of the week. Have you noticed that? Now, if they replace it with something else that grounds people in the Word of God, that is wonderful. But they're doing away with their second and third service. And let me tell you where that really hurts is that's when Ray and Dwayne cannot be together to encourage each other. That's what God expects His people to do. You're with God's people less and less and less. And we need that. And here in verse number 1, God's people came to the point and it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." This was a group effort. They realized that they had sinned against Him. And He sent His judgment. That's what verse 1 means, "For He hath torn." And if it stopped right there, it'd be a horrible thing, Travis. But God has torn, and then He will heal. That's the beautiful, 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 wonderful part of this verse. "For He hath smitten, and He will bind us up." They very wisely attribute their actions to their sin. You know, they didn't say, "Well, this was just something that happened and it's somebody else's fault. It's the way our fortune was." But they attributed their punishment to God who gave it to them. They acknowledged that they had become so bad and so evil and so wicked that God had to send judgment their way. And this is an important place to be. The lost sinner has to come to that point where he says, "I'm a sinner. Not because of what I've done, but because I'm a sinner. I have an inherent sinful nature in me, and I need to be saved." That's the bottom on square one to becoming a Christian. Well, after you're a Christian, anytime we walk away from the Lord, treasure, sometimes we have to go back to the bottom, and we have to say, "I have gone off on this path, and I have to admit that God has allowed these things to happen in my life. Sometimes they're horrible things because I left Him. He did not leave me." They were confident in God's mercy, though, that God would bring them back. "He hath smitten us, but not so bad." Listen to this. "He has injured us. He has smitten us. He has brought brought great pain to us, but not so bad that He won't heal us. God's grace. That is grace in action. And boy, if you take nothing away from this lesson other than this, know this right here. God is much more quick to forgive than to bring judgment. We're going to see that here in the next verse. Read with me in verse number 2. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Now, if you take a Bible commentary and you look at Hosea chapter 6, verse 2, you're going to see from most commentaries that I looked at, you're going to see some comments about the about Christ rising on the third day, the resurrection, and Christ being a first fruits of what's happened to the to God's people. And types and symbols are wonderful. I love to see them. But one of the things that I did this week, and I try to do this every week, is before I even open up a commentary or fire up the computer, I like to read the chapter and just gain from it what I can. That's the best way. That's the best way. And that's why the Gideons ministry is so very important. It gets God's Word out into so many places so people have a chance to pick up the Word of God and read it for themselves. Popping again this morning, Valerie. And that's a wonderful thing. You read that. If you've got a commentary, go home and read it. But here's what I picked up from this. Now go back up to chapter 5 and read with me in verse number 7. And we're going to look at that for just a moment. Chapter 5, verse number 7. This is the Lord talking about the evils of the children of Israel going against Him. And it says, they have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions. And what we looked at last week was the fact that back in this time period, you know how you and I have annual percentage rates. We have annual obligations, and we have monthly payments too. But everything's figured on an annual basis. But back in this time, it was monthly. And that verse is simply saying that God's judgment is imminent. It's near. God's going to do something about this very, very soon. And He uses the analogy of a month. Okay? In chapter 6, verse 2, talking about God reviving them and healing them, He uses days. Now what does that tell you? That should tell you just what I said just a moment ago. God is much more prone to forgive quickly than judge quickly. Judgment is imminent. Judgment is coming. And that's part of the gospel message. And you know, our culture, our political culture and our news culture, the media culture, makes fun of that because we believe that, but we believe God's Word. God's judgment is coming upon this world, but God's mercy is already here. He's much more quicker to forgive. How wonderful it is, the grace of God, to overlook everything, to overlook the things that we have done against ourselves and taken us down paths. God is ready to forgive. What a wonderful thought that is. And so we go to verse number 3. And it says this right here. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Well, what are we going to know? Well, the last part of verse 2 says, and we shall live in His sight. Now, what does that mean? That just means we'll live with His favor. God will once again put His countenance or His blessing upon us. You remember in the beginning days when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness and God blessed them? Every time they went into a phase of disobedience and rebellion, God had to bring them back, and they went through some tough times and through some pain and through some misery. But eventually they would repent of that, wandering away, and then God would once again start blessing them. That's the living in His sight, as they used to. So then shall we know if we are actually living in His sight, then shall we know, Linda, if God is blessing our life and if His power is in our life, if we follow on to know the Lord. Now what does that mean? Well, what that means is this right here. If we know the Lord, if we're following the Lord, there's going to be evidence. if we have a knowledge of the Lord, and when we're talking about knowing the Lord, we're not talking about just a head knowledge. We're not talking about a knowledge that that we have a vague recollection of, but we're talking about something that we experience. We're talking about something. We're talking about the kind of knowledge of the Lord when you get into your Bible as you read every day. You know, reading through the Bible, Brother Chris is very big on that, and we have the schedules, you know, every January. As you get into God's Word, it should be more than reading four or five chapters to check off that box. What it should be is, oh my goodness, that's where I am. Lizzie, he's talking to me right there. That's me. You could put my name in that. That's experiencing the knowledge of God. And that's a wonderful, wonderful place to be. Then shall we know if we're blessed and if we live in His sight and if we have His power in our life, if we follow on to know the Lord. We have read, you know, in our studies, way back in previous lessons where we went on through the book of Romans and even through 1 and 2 Samuel, we have seen that this is the crux of the Christian faith. Brother Albert, I'm not a Christian because at age 5, I walked the aisle and gave my heart to the Lord. Now, that was the first step, mind you. But if you read the message of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, this is what He says. If you're one of mine, then it's going to show. Not because you can go back to a place where you did it. That's important, and we need to do that. We're privileged to be in a church where we see that. Amen? These waters are never still. And I love that about Bible Baptist Church. But all these salvations that we have and all these baptisms that we have, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, if those were real salvations, mind you, okay, if there was true repentance in a person's heart, there's going to be evidence. And so what we're talking about here is growing in the knowledge of the Lord, and it's going to show there's going to be evidence of that. You remember Jesus encountered Nicodemus in the New Testament. And Nicodemus was a self-righteous sort of fella, and he had a lot of things going on that was right on the outside. But Jesus helped him see that just as the wind blows, and you can see evidence of the wind because the leaves are moving around on the trees, Jesus told Nicodemus in so many words that if you're one of mine, we're going to see it in your life. There's going to be evidence that you're one of mine. And it's going to be seen that you're one of mine. Not just simply because you say you are. So then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And then it says this right here. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, unto the earth. Well, one of the things that was very important and still is today is the former and the latter rain. You remember we've read that in the past. Both periods were important. The first rain, I've got this written down somewhere and I seem to be a little bit lost this morning, but from mid-October to about December, that's the second rain. The first rain. It was to fertilize the ground and get it ready for the seed. To make it ready to grow. When the seed got into the ground, it was well watered and it had the nutrients that it needed. That was, and then the rain before the harvest was needed to finish the whole process off. And He's simply saying here is His going forth is prepared. That means sure, confirmed. And His going forth is His coming to His people. Remember, He's been judging them. The children of Israel were put into captivity. And the children of Israel, because they had left the Lord's protection and the Lord's boundaries and gone to Assyria and adopted all their gods, Israel went through a time of judgment. And so now, in these three verses, it's a sweet time of God coming back to His people. And He says His going forth to His people or His coming back to them is sure as the morning. Hey, you know, morning comes. That's just a sureness of life, isn't it? You have a long night. One thing you can bank on is it's going to get light at some point. The darkness is going to go away. And God coming to His people is just as sure as the morning that rolls around after a long night. It's a wonderful concept of how sure God is to forgive His people, how sure He is to love His people and be there for His people. You say, why is that important? Well, this is why that's important. When I leave the paths that He has given me, and when you leave the paths that God has given you, and you detour away from that path, and you get off into things, you fill in the blanks, whatever the things are. Sometimes they're mental, sometimes they're physical. Sometimes it's just getting away from Him. We do that. We just get away from Him sometimes. Whatever it is, and we reach bottom, and we come to that point where we repent of that, and we can be sure of this one thing right here, that His coming back to us is sure as the morning. He's not like me or you. And we'll see this in another verse here in just a minute, if we have enough time. Our coming back to Him is even though it's good, but it's two steps forward and one step back. Remember, Brother Chris calls that forward progression. I like that term because that's the Christian life. We take two steps forward in our Christian life and it's a good thing and we're having a good day, we're having a good week and a good month. And then because we got that nature that tries to tear us down all the time, sometimes we end up going a step back. We end up doing... God doesn't do that, Brother Travis. When I come back to Him and when I have a repentant heart, or anybody has that repentant heart against the Lord, He's taken two steps forward and two steps forward, and He's coming to get us. He's coming to pull us back to Him. That is sure. That is a wonderful thing, Linda. We should be so glad in that. It's not like us. If Brother Ray and I fall out of favor and we have a fist fight, we might hold a grudge and our friendship may be restored, but it may take a long time to get there. God's not that way. He comes to us with open arms. It sure is the morning. He's coming to us to take us back. If that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. If that doesn't give you cause to just think about His goodness, think about His love, then something's wrong. Because we're going to fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We're going to fall. We know that. But when we do, He'll be running back to us. See the beauty of this? When we started the Minor Prophets, when we started Hosea, I knew that this could be difficult. Because if you read the Minor Prophets very quickly, you can get through your reading and... kind of wonder what you've read. Amen? But when you take time and you get into God's Word and you let it speak to you, and you read it slowly, and just like before even I opened my first commentary, when I came to verse number 2, and we're talking about God forgiving and God raising up, and that's in days. He does that in days. And then that took my mind back to verse number 7 in chapter 5 where His judgment comes in a month, but His goodness comes in a day or two. Linda, I just about jumped up for joy, you know, just about hurt myself. Because that's a wonderful thing. We should take delight in that. When you're coming back to the Lord, He is there for us. He is the one that's not going to fail us. And so He says, He shall come unto us as the rain, the latter and the former rain that we need so desperately in our life. So we have this sureness, and we have this sureness that He is here for us. And all we have to do is we have to stay in His Word. We have to stay Christians that's blessed by Him and living in His sight. I want you to go down to verse number 4, and we're just going to read them. We're not going to spend much time there. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew it goeth away. Now here He's talking about their goodness, which is short-lived. Think with me for just a minute. The morning dew, the fall comes around, and around here we get it sometimes, but the time the sun comes out, it burns it up. It's gone, isn't it? On a normal day, it's gone. And He says, God says, Ephraim and Judah, I have I have had to judge you. I have done everything that I know to do to bring you back to me. Now this, what's happened here is the first three verses is kind of a continuation of verse number 15 in chapter 5. And then in verse number 4 of chapter 6, he starts, it's another conversation, if you will, and it continues what's in chapter 5, verse number 14. It's a continuation of that. Just a little bit confusion, but when you get into the text, you see it right away. Verse number 5 says, "Therefore have I hewed them by the prophets." That just means he used God's prophets, God's men, to give them the word of judgment. And then he says this right here, "I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgments are as the light that goeth forth." I want to end the lesson on that middle sentence there, "I have slain them by the words of my mouth." What are the words of his mouth? Well, to the prophet, to the minor prophets, it was one thing. God spoke to them and they spoke to the people. The words of God's mouth to me and you, Brother Ray, is his word. Hence, the Gideon's ministry. His word. That's important. God judges people by His Word. And the reason I should be excited about that is this right here. I should be excited about that because I don't have to be wait for the judgment that's going to be one standard today and something different tomorrow. We stand by His Word and it's sure and it's lasting and it's eternal. Amen? That's why it's so important. Whether you're talking about a hotel room that's frequented by 365 potentially different people, it's important to have a Bible in the drawer. And when you're talking about 200 or 300 people at Bible Baptist Church who go to church every week, it's important that God's Word is first in their life. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this awesome reminder that